pleasure to be together with the Lord Jesus. Turn with me again to the Epistle of Certainties. Now, who knows where I'm going? Somebody was here a few weeks ago. The Epistle of Certainties. Somebody? First John. There you go. Sometimes First John is called the Epistle of Certainties. Thanks, Mary. You saved me there. It's also been called the Epistle of the Things We Can Know. Things we can know, we can be certain of, that we can be true in the life of the Christian as they walk with God and they know Him. And we looked at this theme. I had said I might come back to one or two more of these themes. These things that we can know. John is giving a comprehensive spiritual evaluation of a true Christian. When you see these four we know, then we can see the rest of it. What does it say about a true Christian? He repeats this phrase in this short epistle almost 20 times. By this we know. Let's pick it up in 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. And then I'm going to read just a few verses from chapter 4. So stay with me. 1 John, God's glorious word. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Look over to chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Go down to verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Verse 12. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and His love is perfected in us. Amen. May God bless His word. Let me pray. Father, we come to You, Lord, to ask You to teach us to make Your word fresh and helpful, to open it to us, that we'd have eyes with true seeing, and that this glorious theme of our Savior's love for us and our love for each other would be very precious, helpful. Lord, that it would set in a real way a fire of love and commitment to each other. Lord, speak to us. Blessed be Your name. Thank You for Your precious, living, active word. In Jesus' name, amen. The Christian testimony to the world. How is it seen? How is the Christian testimony, the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, how's it seen in the world? You probably have all kinds of thoughts that come to mind. Through sound, biblical, gospel preaching. Yes. The gospel, the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ goes forward. Through devotion, people who are devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ, and holiness. They walk with Him and they walk in holiness. Yes. The Christian testimony is going forth through that, through missions and evangelism and those who've gone throughout the world speaking and preaching the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Yes, the Christian testimony goes out in the world this way. But how about how Christians relate to each other? Absolutely, absolutely. Relationships together are a testimony to the world around us. Brotherly love, sisterly love, preaches every day. Now, you understand these things. We should know these things. But we should today, with fresh joy in Him, press on more in these things. This thing of brotherly love. Jesus said in that great statement there in John 13, as He was ending His time with His disciples, Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that you are My disciples, if you have love one to another." That would be a testimony in the early church, in the church through the ages, and today in the earth. Yesterday, Darius and I were together for lunch, and the waitress that was waiting on us has seen me there with different guys from the church, and he has his Bible, and we're there. And I know she was processing, what are these guys about? Well, hopefully, by the grace of God, she could see true brotherly love on display between two men together enjoying the time. Beloved, this is a truth, this thing of brotherly love, this thing of walking together in all the if you want to say the intricacies of that, this truth we need to come back to all the time. This is foundational in who we are, what we're about, where we're going, what's ahead. We don't come to it about every 7 years or every 12 years. It's what we live and breathe. It's the Lord Jesus with his people, and it's us with each other. The theme of loving one another. Now, let me meddle a little bit. How's your love for each other going? Well, I kind of like that section of people back there, but this section over here, I don't know about them. I mean, how is our love for each other growing, being demonstrated? How do we see it? How do we feel about each other? What do we think about each other? How do we pray for each other? Beloved, loving each other is not an optional view of Christian living. There are certain books you can have in your library. That's great. And they can be optional. Yeah, you may have this section. Great. Proud of you. Keep them. Love them. Devour them. But loving other Christians is universal. It's in every church, in every time period, in every language, in every place in the earth. Loving God's people. It's foundational for the gospel of Christ in us and the gospel being declared or shown to others. It's right where we live. It's all of us. It's the young people and their friendships on Friday night and those special times. It's the prayer meetings. It's the men's times. It's the women's times. It's the house-to-house times. Loving each other. The Lord Jesus gave us this command based on his whole life example lived out before the world. He said to his men, and therefore he says to every Christian, people will know your followers above me as you love one another. Let it sound forth from the housetops. Let it sound forth in the land. We're in a day of such hate, such evil, such controversy, and the Christian community should rise up in devotion to Jesus Christ and love to each other that preaches clearly of a Savior who loves and saves. So, beloved, this love is to shine forth among his people today, tomorrow, wherever you go. If you meet other Christians, it's visible. It should be put on display in a sense, in the smallest of things or in the big things. When all of y'all recently, I say all of you, several of you, emptied the trailer for the wrap, Hank and Mary's trailer of stuff when it came. It's an expression of love to brethren you've not even met yet. And yet, that's the way it should be. It's visible. It's a declaration to the neighbors, to the world, to family members that are in unbelief, that you're a follower, that you love Jesus Christ. You love his kingdom. I love thy kingdom, Lord. Do we realize the importance of this? Can we grown stale here? How does it show up in daily life? How do we talk to each other? I mean, if the young lady had had a running microphone on Darius and Philip, what would she have picked up in that conversation? What kind of phrases? What kind of encouragements? What kind of struggles? How would we speak to each other? It's real. How do you support each other? How do we support each other and bear with each other and care for each other? How do we pray for each other? I mean, we think of each other all the time when we're apart. Different ones, different needs, different prayer requests that come forth. Beloved, the world is watching. That's not our motive. What are they seeing? I mean, we're not trying to do this to prove something to anybody. We're just doing this in devotion to Jesus Christ. But it's preaching to a world that's miserable and lost and doesn't know how to love. It's very, very powerful in what God has in the love of his people to the people around them, to the time and the society that they live in. So let's go back first. I want to just ground it in what John is saying about the radical change, the radical transformation. Go back to verse 14, chapter 3. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. What a statement. And when you think about John saying that, he's absolutely flipped the natural order upside down. How do you go from death to life? I mean, in our humanity, we're born and we live and then we die. So he's using language that's in the spiritual world, right? The spiritual reality of somebody who is dead, though they're living, and now they've gone into life, whereas before they were in death. Phenomenal statement here. We know it's certain that we've passed from this spiritual death to life because something is put on display. Something is shown. We know that they've come to life, if you will. That's what he's saying. He is emphasizing what God and only God has done. We know that somebody's gone from death to life. A miracle has taken place. That's what he's talking about, a radical, miraculous change, something that man cannot do. We know that that person was dead in trespass and has come to life because their life now is showing forth love. What a statement. Death to life. And like a little baby that's come to life, right? That's been born and begins to breathe and cry and make sounds and all. There's signs. There's life in them. There's reality. I mean, I remember those moments holding my little ones when Krista bore those children and I would hold them and they're breathing and they're living. And so they were showing that they were alive, and Christians showing that they're alive, showing that they're genuinely been born of God's Spirit. They immediately love His people. Now that's radical. I could go to any conference in America that's dealing with all kinds of issues and say that, and they're not thinking that way. I'm not talking about biblical conferences. I'm just talking about conferences of the world. This is language they don't know anything about. It's the language of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They've come alive. And if Jesus loves them, then I'm being taught to love them. It's new. It's fresh in my heart. It's real. Sometimes we forget that when we meet other Christians, and then all of a sudden we realize, I really like them. They're special. I'd like to be with them more. You have a bond with them. You feel it. So other Christians become precious to you. And that doesn't grow old. You may have certain books you never go back to. You may have certain things in your Christian life that you've moved on by the grace of God. But loving the brethren is growing more and more. It doesn't plateau. If it plateaus, we need help. Do we ever? So it becomes an expression of the reality of the life of God in that soul of that man or that woman. They now have the capacity and the delight or the interest, the drive to love others. And it shows the world they've been changed. I mean, even if you look, and we're not going to spend time, but if we look on both sides of what John is dealing with, he's talking about those who hate, those who are haters, those who are murderers. And then he makes his statement, but we know that we've passed from death to life because now we're no longer haters. We're lovers. Lovers of mankind. Lovers of Christians. Lovers are those who are unlovable in the world's terms. We love others, but we chiefly and distinctly love other Christians. What a picture. John says in this one statement, it's active. It's alive right now. One time I had to leave my office years ago. Matt came to see me in Fort Worth. I don't know if he even remembers this story, but it's right here with others. And so I have an office there, and I have to go to a meeting. Well, Mac met one of my best friends in the building, in the company, who was a believer. He was a very senior management guy, great heart. So I introduced him. They got to meet each other, and I leave for a meeting. I'm gone an hour, hour and 15 minutes or whatever. And I come back, and they're sitting in my office going full guns together, meaning in friendship, beginning to love each other in Christ. And I remember thinking, wait a minute here. This is my office. I just introduced you guys. Why don't y'all just greet each other? Mac, you going home. Well, you know, Mac, he's going to give of himself right there to know that brother. And they have a friendship to this day. Sometimes Mac shares more. He knows more about my friend than I do. What's going on with him after all these years? So it's a living, it's active. It's not, you know, think you don't leave here today, and you young people, you don't leave here today and say, you know, one day I'm going to really kind of press into this loving the brethren. No, that's not the way to think. You have to love others right now, right where they are, right where their needs are, their struggles are. And it testifies to others. Those people know Jesus Christ. They walk with Him. I grew up in the Denton schools. And I went to Woodrow Wilson Elementary and Strickland Junior High and Denton High School. And that means not much to you guys, but it means something to me because it's good memories. And I had a friend, or there was a guy, say a friend loosely. Trust me, Clint, loosely. That he was just trouble. I knew him. Every now and then I have a class with him when we had, you know, classes where you'd change classes, change rooms, junior high and high school. And he was just trouble. He was just causing problems, giving people grief, things like that. And that was his life. People knew it. So I knew about him, and I, you know, every now and then would interact with him some, but for the most part stayed away from him. Now I'm married. I'm into my life going on, and I hear from some people in the community that this guy has been converted. And I have to be honest, I was a little skeptical when I heard it. I thought, yeah, I don't know about that guy. And so sure enough, within that year, probably, I can't remember its length of time, I saw him. I met him. And he was just different. He was different. I can honestly say when I saw him, I felt a sincere love for him for the first time. And he had such a different spirit about him. He had gone from death to life. And by the mercies of God, that's what's happened with us. And he had the capacity. He had grace by the Holy Spirit to love others and to love Christians and to love what's pure and to love what's right and to grow in that and to help others grow in that. And it was memorable getting to see him. I have no idea where he is today, but I'm so grateful that I got to see him and have that time. So today, what I'd like to do is take this theme, this radical change, this reality of loving each other like a majestic tree. Loving Christ, but loving his people is like a majestic tree with these branches that go out. And all of those branches have their own distinction, right, to them. And I'd like to use that as a metaphor today. Lee read that great passage from Isaiah. The trees of righteousness. We shall be called the trees of righteousness. How about the trees of love in that righteousness? And I'd like to use that as a picture today, and I want us to think of five branches on this tree of brotherly love. And of course, you sisters know when I say that, I'm talking about love within the brethren, right? This is not a brotherhood club and you girls are shut out. This is phraseology that deals with loving other Christians, sister to sister, brother to brother, me to my wife in Christ Jesus, my love for her. So it applies in all realms of the Christian community. So this tree. Five branches. Branch number one, brotherly love follows Jesus's example. Or as Piper might say, it makes the Lord Jesus look glorious. Brotherly love. It does. John 13, let me go back and read this to you. Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. He gives this command, directive, non-negotiable, love one another. He's in the last hours with them. Love one another. And on both sides of this command to them, he says, as I have loved you. Boy, there is an ocean of depth in that statement right there. As he has loved us, following Jesus' example, the first and foremost truth in this truth of love, brotherly love, this tree, this glorious picture that we have here, is that it's like Christ. It portrays him. It follows his example. He is the pattern for us. He gave us the perfect example. So you and I learn and we pattern after him. We study, we read about him. We read his words. We read his teachings. We see his interactions with people. We see his care for his men, for his followers. It's just incredible. So you learn from him. You're following his example. We're not reading other books. We're not chasing other kind of new, fresh ideas. Sometimes that can be helpful. We're studying the Lord Jesus Christ. It's grounded and rooted in learning him. We learn from his example. And we follow and we do what he says. And we walk like he walked. And we try to think by his blessed Holy Spirit. We try to think like he thinks. And we pattern after him. So practical, but so full. Overwhelmingly full. So he gave us the perfect example to learn from and to pattern after him. Think of this, saints. His humility. His care. His compassion, his laying down his life for us. Just step back. Think of these things. Think of the Lord Jesus Christ and how did he show love? We could do this week after week. Nick had his teaching today with the children. We could say, children, give me one example of how Jesus loved others. I know these children could raise their hand. The next week, another example. We could go on for weeks and months and years and forever on the love of Jesus Christ for his people. So there's no lack, saints. There's no lack of material. We don't need to say this as a vague thing. It's just a mushy thing, this love thing. It's action. It's real. It's put into conduct and activities and relationships and interacting. We pattern Jesus's example. That's what brotherly love does. The four Gospels, they are the textbook on this. They are the living story on love for others. And so when you read through them, I encourage you, just when you read through them, if you're coming up and you're reading, take time, maybe a different highlighter or however you take notes, and mark actions of love, distinct, beautiful, glorious, Son of God love for others, and mark them down. Think about them. He said, as I have loved you. Of course, he's giving that at the very end of his life with them. But he does it in a way that they realize he's saying, everything that I've done for you and to you, follow my example. So reading through the Gospels, take notes, mark them down. Husband and wife, brother to brother, say, you know what, I was reading in John chapter whatever. You realize Jesus's love is shown in these three things, in these verses. Look at this distinct areas of how he showed this love. Otherwise, people act like it's too vague. I mean, it blows me away sometimes when a husband says, how do I love my wife? I probably have said this. I want to say, you got to be kidding me. You're asking me that? How can you marry her? Right? Am I missing something? Saints, we don't want to miss the obvious. Love is from the heart to another person that you cherish. And it has action, and it has beauty, and it has creativity, and it has reality to it. There's not just one size fits all. It's boundless, because the love of Jesus Christ is boundless towards his people. And you should be learning these things. You should be overwhelmed in these things. If Jeffrey Thomas was here today, we'd say, brother, tell us more about the love of Jesus than the last time we saw you. And he could probably name all things that God's doing in his life. You see, it's alive. The example of the Lord Jesus Christ, he didn't boss his people. He didn't try to dominate his people in a harsh spirit. He blessed his people. This is his love for them, his love for his disciples. He corrected them at times. He was trying to bring them along, no question. But he was there with them to bless them and help them and teach them and give them words of life and give them words of truth to keep them from evil. Just like Nick talking to these children, telling them which way to go, telling them what's right, what honors God, what's the way to live. That's what somebody that loves you will do for you. We don't need to boss each other. The elders, we don't need to boss anybody. We just need to speak truth. We need to speak it in love. We need to give it as fresh food for each other. We need to do what Brother Nick said. We need to sharpen each other. So a brother sharpens the countenance of his friend. Iron sharpening iron. The Lord Jesus Christ is our example. Are your words full of life for the saints? The Lord Jesus didn't withhold himself from others. He didn't withhold himself. He did for the men that were corrupt and trying to play games, but for his people, they came to him. He didn't withhold himself. He gave himself. He's just washed the disciples' feet. The Son of God washing mere men's feet. Incredible. What politician in our country today is interested in washing anybody's feet? And the Son of God, the Lamb of God, who reigns over everything, washes our feet. Oh, it's unbelievable what we're reading about. Why would we ever think there's something too low for us to do for each other? It's just out with that thinking. The Lord Jesus Christ, he cared for his men to the very end. Having loved them, he loved them to the end. You can be great in doctrine. Yes, our church can be great in doctrine. I want us to be glorious in doctrine and truth. We can be great in our gathering for prayer meetings in terms of we give ourselves. We can be great in fellowship and breaking of bread. But if we lose love, brothers and sisters, we lose it all. Things just fall apart. Hurts and division and disinterest. The Lord Jesus Christ loved him to the end. He taught them. He warned them. He corrected him. He brought them about long as the great shepherd, but he did it in love. You're just, beloved, you and I, we're just trying to be reminded we're following Jesus' example, loving the brethren. He didn't like sympathy. Stiff theologians oftentimes lack sympathy. You got an issue? You got an issue here? Do we need to work through it? You see, well, what does that do for somebody? That doesn't really make them feel very cherished and loved. But we're looking at the Lord Jesus Christ and His sympathy. And I preached on this a few months back. His compassion. His compassion. Do people approach you, or do they approach me? Do they approach our assembly knowing that people will have compassion on them? Mary and Martha and Lazarus. We'll ask them in heaven, what did it feel like on that day when Jesus came? You talk about full of compassion. So my point is, beloved, in the Gospels, let's camp out when we go through them and think of this truth. As I have loved you, so love one another. Page after page. Just markings, notes, beautiful, glorious, overwhelming reality. And you and I will each say, Lord, teach us to love. That's what it'll do for you. You'll feel like, I'm not sure I've ever loved anybody properly. But the mark of the true Christian is they're loving the brethren and they're continuing. They're walking in Jesus' example. Branch number two. Brotherly love shows honor. Romans 12:10. Be kindly affection. This is the King James. Be kindly or show affection one to another with brotherly love. And then he goes on and says, look at the connection. With brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. What a statement that is. I like the ESV, if I got this right. The ESV says, outdo one another in showing honor. Is that right? Is that what it says? Outdo each other. Now, that's saying it there, isn't it? Don't hold back. Just get in to showing love and showing honor, showing preference. It's just an incredible statement here that Paul is giving in this truth of brotherly love. It's grounded, it's permeated in brotherly love, and it shows the honor Christian to Christian. Saints, this is language that's so counterculture, isn't it? The last thing men of the world want to do, the big shots of the world, and they think they're big shots at 25 and 45 and 65 and 85. Trust me, we know this. Men think they're big shots. The last thing they want to do is show honor or look to others with a higher view. It's just they're not taught that way. It's not in their natural DNA. We know that we've passed from death to life if we love the brethren. And this is one aspect of it. Preferring others, esteeming them, hold them in high regard. Cherishing who they are. They've got their issues, their problems. Granted, I get it. But we still esteem them and love them. We're for them. It'd probably do us good once a month just to read one reading of the martyrs as they go to their death. And a brother is with his brother or a sister with her sister in the faith. And what they say to each other. I could say, Nick Hansen, next month you find one of those readings and you come up here and read it to us. We'll probably break down and cry on some of those. Why? Because they loved each other. Play the man, brother. Stay in there. Press on. Don't hold back. Can you imagine what voices came into Luther's life when he was taking such a massive stand? And there were others that actually stood with him in their own way. Outdo one another in showing honor. The King James says, prefer. Put each other in a high regard. That's what it's getting at. And that's not what the world teaches us. I'm just trying to be honest. Ladies, y'all bear with me. And I'm just saying to the men, you're not going to be taught that in colleges, in sports, in corporate America, and in there. It's not there. There's Christians there. But that's not the ethic that they teach. They teach men to be the big guy. Lord Jesus Christ is the great one. And all of us are subject to Him. And we esteem His people. We hold them in high regard. This is a powerful truth. It's a big branch on this tree of love. So we have to do that with a humble attitude. The way to make somebody else in a place that you look to them in an honorable way is you have to keep yourself in a humble way. I mean, what do you really have to offer other than what God's given you? What else does your life, I mean, what can you take credit for? It's grace. If you have something to offer brother or sister, it's because the grace of God has given it to you. You're bringing forth out of His treasure, not yours. And so to love somebody means you show honor to them. You think highly of them. I'm not talking about trying to flatter them. We're not giving them cheap talk. It's just you really, they know that you cherish them, that you hold them in high regard. I'm going somewhere with this, right? This is how love is shown. And think about the layers of this. If you honor somebody and you want to make sure that their integrity of who they are is protected, you talk about them with them or without them being there. You talk about them in a certain way. And you hear things said about people that honors them. There's a couple of guys I work with now. Daniel, where's Daniel? There he is. He's back. There's a couple of guys, and Daniel's getting to know us. There's some of those guys there that we get to work with that really want to meet some of the men that they know are special to me here. I loved it. And Daniel can laugh. I loved it a couple of years ago. One of the guys said, "Can I listen to y'all's new members' classes?" So Lee sent me the link, and he started listening through them, and he said to me, "Oh, I want to meet that Mac Tomlinson." It was so funny how he said it. I said, "Well, he may not impress you that much, really." I probably did say that, and he just laughed. But I said, and he said, I just enjoyed hearing him talk about, when y'all were talking about the church and the years and the early days. Beloved, there were more children gathered here today in this front than the size of our church for several years. But brotherly love is foundational in those days, in those moments. And so what this guy that I was talking about in the office, he just hears another brother. He's interested. He wants to know him. He wants to love him. He's beginning to esteem him and respect him. That's the way it should be. I'll always cherish when Jeff and I and Mac, in back 2001 or whatever that was, Jeff, we went down at PCPC to the front and we just got to say hello and introduce ourselves to John Piper. Remember that? It was like me walking up to my granddad or my dad. I mean, he didn't have a barrier around him. We just walked up to him. We said, "Introduce yourself." And we asked him some very intimate questions. He had a son, a teenage son, that was going through some hard things. And here's this man that just opened his heart in those few moments with us. I got to laughing at myself. I asked him, I think in that time, Jeff, you probably helped me remember. I said, "Brother, what are some of the men that most shaped your life? If you think about your..." And he looked down and he said, "Well, number one, my dad." I think that's what he said, his dad. But just him sharing. The point is, he didn't feel like a big shot. He didn't act like that. And so when we esteem each other, we prefer one another, we appreciate them. We admire qualities about them, who they are. And it protects us. It protects us from criticism and gossip and arguing and nitpicking. Everybody know what nitpicking is? Husbands sometimes are good at nitpicking. Brother to brother, we got to be careful. And this applies to not just when we talk and we're together, but it applies to our texts and our emails and any other form of communication you're using. Be careful. Let your device and what words come out of it be seasoned with grace. Sometimes we feel like we can communicate at one level here, and then we get on our gadgets and say other things. We got to be careful. We show honor. The Lord Jesus Christ gave Himself for them, and we love them. They're brothers and sisters forever. God help us to not hurt each other. Branch number three, brotherly love serves others. We've talked about love is it's action, it's activity. The Lord Jesus is the example. We follow His example, but it shows honor. It's an attitude, a spirit, and here it serves others. Galatians 5:13, for brethren, we have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, selfish ways, but by love serve one another. We'd have to go back and put it in its bigger context, but we've been brought into Christ Jesus. We've been liberated to live unto Him. And He's saying, it's not about you. It's about loving and serving others. You've been liberated to be a family with other believers. It's not a solo walk. So when we see the needs of others, we serve. They come up. Sometimes there are needs that we all hear about. Sometimes, and it happens. You ladies help each other every week. It'd be remarkable to hear recounted the ways that sisters help each other and mothers and the brothers help each other. He says, by love, that's the motive. You serve one another. Needs come up. Things are shared. Where are we? How can we help? How can you be involved? Some of you in this room are exemplary in every way. I marvel. I wish I could point that out, but I wouldn't want to embarrass anybody. This thing of serving others, the meal train, and the care that is given is beautiful. It's beautiful pictures of that. People in the world watching and seeing or hearing about things like that. And I told y'all about, you know, the early years of our church and just sharing things and opening the home and having worship time. And we'd be out of town. Jeff would have a key and they'd set up and have church in our house. And our families would kind of go, are you sure that's okay? Yeah. Yeah, Mom, it's okay. We love them. But they begin to realize these people are close. This giving and sharing and helping each other. Genuine sympathy when a brother or sister is hurting. That's a way to serve others. Just to be with them. Help them. Check on them. Sympathy. What a gospel language that is. Being sympathetic. And guys, it's for us too. This isn't just a feminine thing. This is for every Christian. Sharing and being together. Thinking about that story where Mac had that disc that he blew out, and I've forgotten who we were sharing it with, but how long, Mac, were you bedridden that stretch? 10 weeks? 6 weeks in bed. Couldn't get up. Zero. Never got out of bed for 6 weeks. I won't get into too many details, but he was stuck. And there was a stretch in there, different ways that others could help or minister there, but Brother Baker and I had gone over there one day and tried to help on something. Just seeing people when they're hurting. Readiness to give help when they have a need. When you hear of a need. Something that you can step in and meet a need on. And sometimes when we see these notes to each other and, boy, Johnny on the spot, somebody jumps in. It's beautiful. It's a gospel reality in his people. We were trying to get the house ready this fall to sell. And so we're going to go over there and do all this painting and stuff. And I show up and got my grubby clothes on, and there's Mac in his old jeans and old shirt and hat. Nobody told him to be there. There he was, ready to help, painting. And so, beloved, when you think about these ways that we love each other, they can get so practical. There's so much how we walk and live together. Spontaneous giving, material needs. Sometimes in the Lord's great mercy, that's the way you help others. You know, Paul wrote Timothy on that. Let those who have, basically who have plenty, let them not be conceited. He said, but let them be ready to distribute. Talks about caring for others. It's awesome. It's awesome to have some grain in the storehouse, if you want to see that picture, when others have need. You know these things. It happens. It happens very often, just quietly. Nobody's seeing these things. But you can minister true love to others and service to others in just things and financial help. Be ready. Let God do it. Let it be an expression of love that even your children or others will hear about. God will be exalted. Friendship. Serving others just in friendship. Nick, I didn't tell you to go on that theme today. So true. Friendship can be such a precious thing when we're hurting. We have needs. Feeling alone. Feeling needy. Feeling like nobody really even knows what I'm going through. I'm sure many thoughts come to your mind as we go over these kinds of topics. Brotherly love serves others. And there are so many other ways, dozens of examples we could go through. But it's a heart that loves it, God's people, and is ready to do what I can do. Sometimes there's chapters where you're more active in being able to help. And there's other chapters that you can't, or others are helping you. There's a give and take. But Jesus Christ is exalted in all of it. It's His way. Branch number 4. Brotherly love is forbearing. Nobody leaves now. Shut the doors, Mac. Nobody slips out on this one. Is forbearing. You think Mac and I have ever had a disagreement? Or Jeff Price? Sometimes you think, how could anybody have a disagreement with Jeff? I'm sure Jeff and I have had some disagreements along the way. But I tell you what, I told him, this is the way, No, come on now. We can't act up. Forbearing. We hurt each other. Sometimes we do it semi-intentional. Sometimes we didn't even mean to, and we do. What do we do? How do we pick up the pieces? How do we forbear with each other? Ephesians 4:2, with all lowliness and meekness. There's a starting point. With long suffering, forbearing one another in love. It gets pretty close to where we live, doesn't it? Bearing with each other. Being so honest with our struggles. Sometimes we just don't want to bear with each other. I'm just weary of this. Sometimes we may not say it, but we show it in our actions. And we have to realize, beloved, our Savior was long-suffering. He brought His people in that day and today. He's long-suffering and patient and tender and kind with His people all the way to glory. He's not keeping a checklist on us. I mean, He shattered Peter's question about forgiving others. Okay? There is no limit. We keep forgiving. We keep loving. We keep giving ourselves. And so love is forbearing. It bears with each other. If you want to say it endures things, it holds up. It doesn't cash it in. That's it. It has to. You have to just keep giving of yourself. Go back to 1 Corinthians 13. Some of you have not been in the church long enough that when Lee preached through 1 Corinthians 13, if you get time, go through those sermons. You'll love them. They'll help you. Forbearing, long-suffering. That's this phrase, long-suffering. In 1 Corinthians 13, I'm going to give you these phrases. The exhortation is to love suffers long. Do you suffer well with others? Do you put up well? Do you hang in there with them? Do you get exhausted with others? Beloved, I know it's uncomfortable. I know it. I'm just like you. Meaning I'm a mere man saved by the grace of God. But I get weary. And the Lord Jesus Christ speaks to us. He loves us. He forbears with us right now, today. He loves us. He shepherds us. He cares for us. He suffers and He brings us along. We have to be committed to each other, short and long term. I still see Christians in this Denton and extended community from when I was young. And it's special to see them. Some have gone on, have passed, gone to glory. And I can have some of them, I remember the relationship was strained or difficult. And yet, they're true brothers or sisters, and I should bear and love them. And we have to do that with each other. Love doesn't hold grudges. I got two things up here that Alan Pop has done to me. I'll show y'all later. I'm not letting them go. Alan, I got you, buddy. See that? Men, I can promise say there'll be corporate meetings starting tomorrow morning early on the East Coast, and that's what they'll do. That's what the big shots do. That's what the men of the world do. There go I, but by the grace of God. That's not what the people of the Lord Jesus Christ do. They don't have grudges and lists and oughts against each other. Right? They don't. They love each other. They're committed. It says in 1 Corinthians 13, love thinketh no wrong. You can't play these things over in our mind. If I hurt my wife or she hurts me or in our relationship with others, we have to be very tender to keep things fresh in that bond and forbear and love each other. Love doesn't give up on each other. It says love endures all things. 1 Corinthians 13. Love endures. It keeps going. It just keeps going. It keeps giving, keeps sharing, keeps cherishing, knowing that I need them, they need me. We're in this together. Tom Sadowski and Mac and I could tell some wonderful stories together. Tom and I used to go to the prison down there in Palestine with Rudy Ray and them. And Tom, I have some very distinct memories of us listening to cassette tapes of biographical sketches by Piper and other stories, which were just overwhelming us together. We were sharing in this together. And he's speaking of stories of forbearing. Whitfield had to forbear with the Wesleys. Okay? You could say it the other way if you want to, but my point is they had to love each other. The world is watching. What are they seeing? Do they see the Lord Jesus Christ with His people? in his people? Yes, they should. And love stays connected through thick and thin. It says in 1 Corinthians 13, God's word says love never fails. Love doesn't bail out or quit. It stays connected. It gives of itself. It's all in. As they say, there's no turning back. I love Christ and I love his people. In spite of the struggles and sometimes the hurts, we have to give ourselves and be transparent and make things right and love them. You get the point. Branch number 5, brotherly love keeps going, growing. It's advancing. Brotherly love keeps growing, maturing, getting stronger. 1 Thessalonians 3:12, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one towards another and towards all men, even as we do towards you. Paul had a way of just getting right to it by the leading of the Holy Spirit. He says, may the Lord make you to increase and abound in love with each other. And that sounds like something that's moving on. Almost sounds like an investment term, a banking term. To increase and abound, gaining interest, gaining earnings on it. And that's what he's emphasizing here. Loving each other, saints, is not static. You don't just level out. you don't just get to a point where that's okay. You keep putting, as they say, wood on the fire. You keep growing in it. You keep knowing more about each other. So you progress. You keep sharing. You keep making each other a priority. You learn from each other. We oftentimes, when we're together in smaller groups, we'll share each other. And somebody say, can you tell me about X? Can you tell me about this in your life? Or what's going on now in this? And we pick up. And we pick up again. And we're learning more how to love each other right where they are. What their struggles are. What their current needs are. So this progression, are you progressing? I'm getting towards the end. Are we progressing in love one to another? Is this certainty of death to life truly being borne out, shown forth in us? It should be. This tree should be getting bigger and bigger. This tree of love and closeness, increasing and abounding. And therefore, it will take effort, ongoing, constant effort. It takes both of us working, right? It takes you. It takes a husband and wife in Christ, growing in grace, loving each other. It gets bigger and gloriously stronger and wonderful and precious and brother to brother and sister to sister. It's increasing. It grows. I think of the different chapters when I met different ones of you. And I just love you more now than I did then. I mean, I met Jeff in 99 or 2000 right in there. And so much more depth to the love there and friendship there. Meeting different ones. And I sometimes I'll say to y'all, now, what year was it you came in? I say, Brian, Michelle, what year was it when you came? We got to meet you and Jared and Joanne. And they'll say, and I just, all of a sudden I go back and I pick up and I think, saints, it's a gift to have each other. Such a gift. We need each other. We're his people. We're servants of the Most High. He's teaching us these things. So we have to put in effort. Your heart has to be in. And the bond will get stronger. And the reality of the Lord Jesus growing us in grace and humility and commitment to each other will become more and more precious. We don't want to create hierarchies. We're in this together. We're bound together. We worship the one great Savior. So let me close again in saying, loving other Christians is a mark, an absolute given of every true Christian. It's a sign of going from death to life. It's a sign that we're together. We're now truly brothers and sisters in Christ. Sometimes it'll be harder for you with others. I'll acknowledge that. Sometimes think we don't click the same with each other. We know that. Sometimes you'll just say, I don't know that we say the same things. But don't overanalyze it. Just love them. I could say that about people who've impacted my life in a massive way. And yet I'm not really wired like them, but they're in Christ. They teach me their lives. They preach to me and how they live, how they speak, how they act. We can do that with each other. And beloved, it does testify. A Christian testimony in the earth is clearly put on display when Jesus Christ's people love each other. Lord, help us. Help us to love. Amen. Let me pray. Lord, teach us to love like you. Lord, I even sense today with us being here together, closer even in together, it's like you drawing us in to teach us these things. Help us. Lead us forward with fresh commitment and a heart to love as you've loved us, to follow your example, to be all in. Blessed be your name. We worship you. Glory to your holy name. Amen.